Good news, bad news. Good news, hour number two is wide open. Bad news, hour number two is wide open. Luckily, I can control this thing. I can't control everything, but I can't control the thing overall. I can mitigate, diminish, limit the damage you could possibly do to it. So I'm going to let you in, and we'll see how it goes. But if it goes badly, I'll lock that bleeping door. 1-800-636-8686. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know, on the one hand, like, quote, I'll let you in. What's the worst that could possibly happen, right? Let's see. Let me let one of you in and see what happens. Let's go to social. Drew in West LA. Quote, brah, enough is enough. Bob Myers is literally on the brink of tears almost every time he speaks publicly. What the hell is wrong with this guy? I'm going to answer your question by posing a question of my own, Drew. To your question, what the hell is wrong with this guy? My response is, the hell is wrong with you, Drew? You say that literally, Bob Myers literally is on the brink of tears every time he speaks publicly. Bro, I'm on the brink of tears every time I see your name show up on my timeline. Come on, Drew. The hell is wrong with a guy who cares about his players? He cares about the people he works with. That's a bad thing? That's wrong? When Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson or the guys that he knows well, that he drafted, that he brought in, that he cares about, they get hurt and they're in pain and they suffer emotionally and he knows they're going to go to a really dark place and it's going to be there for a long time. Man, he hurts for them. Damn, Drew. Get some better material, man. Get better takes. Drew, become a better human being. How about that? Obviously, you have not changed, dude, in 2020. If anything, Drew, you're getting worse. Quote, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Hey, man, if that's wrong, I don't want to be right. This guy's like the rare guy in a ruthless, cutthroat business that actually cares about the people that he works with. Kevin Marr tweets, Montecito doesn't have a Freebirds IV all day. Oh, for sure. For sure. If you're asking me Montecito or IV, IV all day. If you're asking me IV or anything, IV all day. My guy Uriah Faber tweet or Instagrammed, put up on the gram the most amazing picture. It was him celebrating his 21st birthday where he got all messed up in Isla Vista. And I responded in the comments, it might be my favorite sports story of all time. Faber was born in Isla Vista. He's an Isla Vista native. You have no idea. Like, I don't want to be crass. I'm sure there are a lot of kids born in Isla Vista that were unplanned. It's a college town. But I'm talking about a world-renowned, internationally known athlete from that town. I can't even begin to do it justice. I mean, I could try. I've talked about it being a ghetto by the sea. It's a little college town that's up on the bluffs, that has a couple of main streets. I mean, it would be like, I don't even know how to describe it, like Anderson Silva being born in Isla Vista. It's like where we all went to college and all partied so hard and got an amazing education and lived some incredible times. But it is, in fact, a little ghetto by the sea. It's a seaside ghetto in the best way imaginable. The fact that a world-class athlete was born there, all right, that his parents lived there, like, people don't live there. They go to school there and then they graduate. He had parents that posted up in Isla Vista. I'm not doing it justice. I can't even describe how amazing that is to me. Just part of the IV folklore. So yes, IV is better than Montecito. I mean, what's Montecito got besides $100 million mansions and a bunch of rich people? Those same rich guys where I used to play tennis when I was young and tried to hustle guys. And they wouldn't even let you walk through their front door. I'll meet you around back, scrub. You couldn't even go through their front door. Nice attitude. Very Beauregard of them. I'll meet you out back. Don't walk through my front door. Traffic reporter. Dear fantasy owners, Justin Herbert is out this week against the Jets. He is already scheduled to work at the AMC Theater concession stand. Thanks, Justin Herbert's parents. Geoff and Lincoln. Yeah, that or be the, here it goes, clones, face of the franchise for the next decade. Stop it, Rit. That's not funny. That's not cool. That's not clever, Rit. Just push the buttons, man. Just push the buttons that get me in and out of the break. Don't start playing with the sound, Rit. Don't make it your own, Rit. You have no equity in this. Don't own this. Man, fix your tie. Push the buttons. All right, who wants in? 1-800-636-8686. Let's talk about the Giants. So the Giants fired their offensive line coach, Mark Colombo, yesterday. Head coach Joe Judge said in a statement, quote, "We appreciate what Mark has done, but I felt like this move is in the best interest of the team," end quote. "Normally, I would not be talking about the staffing moves of a 3-7 football team, but I am talking about this because it's pretty bizarre to fire an offensive line coach when it seemed like the offensive line was actually improving. It seemed like the offensive line had played much better of late. I mean, they had run for 150 yards or more in three straight games. If you're running for 150 yards or more and you don't have Saquon Barkley back there and you're a bad football team, that must mean the guys up front are playing pretty well. I mean, sure, two of those games were against Philadelphia and Washington, but they still technically count as NFL games. But again, that's not really enough to get me to talk about Joe Judge and who he's hiring and firing. Except Joe Judge firing Mark Colombo for punching Judge in the face is enough to get me to talk about who Joe Judge is hiring and firing. Because that's amazing. And that was the initial report. Now, don't get this twisted. I'm not a fan of workplace violence. I think that goes without saying. But if there is a report that an assistant coach broke the head coach's face, then I'm talking about that. That I am here for. And as we know, there is a rich tradition of coaches punching each other in the face. Even in games, there was that moment when Oilers defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan punched Oilers offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride in the middle of a game. Again, not at practice, not in a film session, not in a meeting room, not even in a bar after a few pops when it got away from them. In a freaking NFL game, went over and punched a coworker in the face. Not only that, but the other coordinator. Amazing story. Go look for it on YouTube. It's incredible. Then there were the reports that Raiders head coach, Tom Cable punched a defensive assistant in the jaw and sent him to the hospital. And then there was some mystery involved there because the injury might have happened when Cable allegedly flipped him out of his chair and then his face bounced off a cabinet. Either way, it was just a good sign for the Raiders. A sign that they were in fact back. A sign that that's who they are. An organization that will give anybody and everybody the hands and the finger, including themselves. Oh, and then there was that time. Remember when Bobby Petrino got into a fight with the pavement and the pavement kicked his ass? Remember that? So there's a long and rich tradition. So now we circle all the way back to that report that Mark Colombo punched Joe Judge in the face. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I just know that I want it to be true. I don't know if it's true. I just want it to be true. And again, I do not condone workplace violence. Solving something with your fists is never a good solution. But it's the most football coach thing ever, right? To square up with another coach. That's as football coach as it gets. Especially Judge, because all we ever hear about this guy is his no-nonsense approach. His blue-collar approach. No nonsense, Joe Judge. Joe Judge isn't having it. Joe Judge is here for the blue collar fans. Joe Judge is a tough guy. Blah, 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 blah. The surprise is not that he and one of his assistants gave each other the hands, or the judge got the hands, allegedly. The surprise is that it took as long as it did for it to happen, allegedly. I mean, when you're dealing with somebody who is that no-nonsense, and somebody's getting the hands, allegedly. And that was the initial report. The Colombo and Judge exchanged the hands. And the Colombo got the best of Judge, and the Judge fired him right on the spot. Then again, maybe I'm being unfair. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that they exchanged hands. Maybe that's not accurate, if it happened at all. Not accurate because Mark Colombo is 6'8" tall. Mark Colombo was listed at 320 when he played. That's like stepping in against Andre the Giant. Unless you're Bruce Lee fighting Kareem in Enter the Dragon, you're not giving him anything, much less the hands. Like, I don't know how big Joe Judge is, but he was a backup quarterback and a holder in college. So I'm guessing my man does not go 6'10", 400. In other words, if in fact there was a fight between Colombo and Judge, it didn't last very long. Not unless Judge is some freaky jiu-jitsu master and shot low and took that fight to the mat and choked Colombo out or somehow chopped down that tree. If the two of them did, in fact, stand in the middle of the ring and exchange hands, there was no exchange. Colombo let his go, and Judge started bleeding. I'm guessing that's how that went. I don't think that Joe Judge countered a guy who goes 6'8", 320 back in the day. Like, if Mark Colombo punches you, you stay punched. To quote Pete McMeat, if you're about to get into a fight with Mark Colombo, you'd have a big dump in your pants.
You'd have a big dump in your pants.
Colombo v. Judge would be the classic two-hit fight. His fist hits your head hits the ground. And it may or may not still be attached to your shoulders. How about this idea that they fought, Colombo won, and Judge fired him immediately? I mean, if you believe that initial report, that's how that went. If they really did fight, and Colombo really did land that punch or punches, yeah, I don't think Judge isn't talking to HR about firing somebody. I think he's talking to a doctor about fixing his face. And more likely, he's not talking to anybody at all. The team said the report of Colombo and Judge, the fact that they fought, quote, was absolutely false in every way, end quote. Of course the team denied it. Of course they would. You have to if you're the team. Like, again, I don't know if it's true or not true, but I do know that you have to deny that your first-year head coach was fighting his offensive line coach. It's not a good day. That's not good news. That's not something you want out there. That's not a sign of a functional environment, a functional culture. You don't hear the great teams in the NFL denying reports that their head coach got knocked the hell out by an assistant. Like, I don't ever remember hearing that Mike Vrabel put Bill Belichick to sleep. I don't ever remember hearing that Bill Belichick put Bill Parcells to sleep. I don't ever remember hearing that any Niner assistant put Bill Walsh to sleep. I don't remember any of this. And then there was this tweet from Kim Jones from the NFL Network. Quote, heard from a bunch of people today. I'm convinced Joe Judge and Mark Colombo never got physical. I do believe Colombo called Judge his boss one of the dirtiest words in the English language. End quote. And so, of course, the internet tried to determine what that word was. What is one of the dirtiest words in the English language that would get a guy if there was no fight? What is a word that could get a guy fired? And don't come in here with that stupid joke that Colombo called Judge one of the dirtiest words in the English language. He called him a jet. It's already been done a million times. It's not funny. But it does raise the question, right? What word would be so dirty and so filthy that it could get a guy fired? A guy whose job, who's doing a pretty good job. And it raises another question. How the hell is this happening with the Giants? The Jets, sure. But the Giants? The Texans? Sure. The Lions. I get it. Even the Washington football team. Hell, we're not even talking about the Mets, who I'll get to later on. We're talking about the New York Giants. You know, one of the Tiffany franchises, not just in the NFL, but in all of professional sports. One of the classiest organizations in all of professional sports. Or they used to be. They used to be held up as a model organization. But what they've been in reality is one of the worst teams in the NFL for years. And now you've got allegations that their offensive line coach knocked their head coach the hell out. And don't tell me this is a good thing. Don't tell me this is further evidence that they're on the right track and that Judge once again has set the tone. A head coach getting knocked out by an assistant and firing that assistant on the spot is not leading from the front. That's not a sign of good culture. That's a sign of complete dysfunction and how jacked up things are in that building, if that's what happened. I just wonder if Judge looked at Colombo first and said, "Hey, yo, Paul Bunyan, what do you say you and I take this outside?" And if Colombo said, "Hey, what do you say I break your face right here and now?" Allegedly. Buddy Ryan letting the hands go, can't believe that this got away from these guys the way it did, allegedly.
Has Buddy Ryan taken a swing at Kevin Gilbride?
Now that's hard to believe.
That's baloney. I mean, it's just hogwash. Kevin Gilbride shouldn't have to take that. Buddy Ryan, if he wants to be a head coach, wait till he gets a job somewhere. He's a heck of a coach, just acts like a jerk sometimes.
What, punching a coworker during a game is baloney? It's hogwash? Skullduggery didn't want any of that. Baloney and hogwash. I'm guessing if that went down during a game today, there'd be stronger verbiage than baloney and hogwash. That's amazing. And by the way, that didn't hurt him. He became like a legend after he did that. It was like the most Buddy Ryan thing ever. Even if it was baloney and hogwash. All right, when we come back, again, I don't know whether or not Colombo knocked Judge out, but I hope he did. And I'm not here to endorse or condone violence at the workplace, but that is some kind of story, really. Dana White coming up in hour number three. This holiday season, it's all about the bedroom. Casper's Black Friday sale is up to 30% off everything you need to make your bedroom your happy place. The most supportive mattresses, plush pillows, soft sheets, even cozy throw pillows and blankets. So you better get gifting. Casper's Black Friday sale is on sale right now with up to 30% off for a limited time at Casper.com. Only Casper mattresses are made with 86 supportive gel pods to align your spine and eliminate aches and pains. It is the supportive comfort you need to wake up refreshed and ready to go. Casper bed frames are made from the highest quality materials. Did you know that Casper also has bedroom accessories, from their warm, magical glow light to their calming weighted blanket? Even a dog bed for your best friend. Casper has cozy gift ideas for everybody you know. So give the gift of a better bedroom. Save up to 30% off during Casper's Black Friday sale, going on right now at Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms for more details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
The NFL on CBS slate features two of the AFC's best getting after it. Derrick Henry and the Titans go up against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Steelers looking to keep the thing rolling against the Jags. It all gets underway with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The NFL on CBS, I will be doing my views from Rome. I make my appearance. So once again, 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Among other things, I'm talking Raiders v. Chiefs. Or what's left of the Raiders. Raiders don't seem to be taking this COVID thing very seriously, do they? But they did beat the Chiefs. Kansas City's got that one loss on the season, and it was the Raiders who gave it to them. So, among other things, I'll be talking about that. I may have thoughts on tonight's game, too, depending on how that plays out. So, I've got my views from Rome on the NFL and CBS. 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. Make sure you check it out. Ken in SA tweets, Rome, baloney and hogwash are fighting words. Signed, malarkey. You know how it is. It's like you want to be careful. You don't drop a four-letter bomb. You don't get too angry on the air. You don't let it get away from you. Man, that's baloney. It's like Larry Robinson. We got a few little whining babies.
That's baloney. I mean, it's just hogwash.
That's genuine disdain. That's baloney.
That's baloney.
And hogwash. What, you mean a coordinator punching the other coordinator in the face during a game over his play calling? What you would call baloney, I would call absolutely awesome. Hey, man, he cares. He wants to win. And he thought the other guy was preventing him from winning. Notice it was Gilbride that he punched in the face. And not Mike Ditka when Ryan coached with Ditka. He knew who to punch in the face. You got to love that, like, they win a Super Bowl. And it's not the head coach they carry out on their shoulders. It's the D coordinator. That's how much Buddy Ryan was beloved back in the day. But Buddy was not going to punch Ditka in the face. That would not have gone well. We know this. Anybody else? Justin Thomas is the star of episode 152 of the Jim Rome podcast. We pushed that out yesterday, and he is the number three stick in the world. So right off the very top, why don't you say we give a little golf clap to the old guy in the front row without any hair, wearing a necktie for the job that he did.
That Garrett Ritt guy knows how to book.
Nice golf clap. Pretty sick turn. 72 hours removed from Augusta. Speaking of 72 and Augusta, after 72 holes at the Masters, Justin Thomas turned in his best finish in five trips down Magnolia Lane. Solo fourth. But if you know this guy, as you'd expect, that was not good enough for him. He told me yesterday that it may not be a question of if he gets that green jacket, but he feels pretty strongly that he will get one day. It's just a matter of when.
I'm very confident that I'm going to win there at some point in my career, and hopefully it happens soon, and hopefully it happens often. I'm very, very comfortable on the golf course. I feel like I know how to play it really well. But even if you know how to play it and you know where to hit it, you need to be able to execute and hit the shots when you need to, especially on the weekend, and make some putts when you need to. And that's something that I haven't done too much in the past. But you know, we're going to keep working on it, and we'll be ready once we're teeing it up in April.
I can tell almost within a sentence or two if a guy's going to be a good interview. And you know with him, he's going to be a good interview. Man, just straight shooter. Hits it straight, shoots straight. I love guys like that. So he played well last week. And he was, in fact, atop the leaderboard going into Saturday. But then DJ went unconscious. And Dustin Johnson was doing things to that track that nobody's ever done before. JT even said yesterday on the pod, nobody was going to run him down. We also talked about Bryson DeChambeau, and I asked him about how exhausting it was to have to answer all those questions about the Hulk heading into the Masters.
I mean, the first two questions I got my press conference at the Masters were about him. So you can look at it two ways. It's one, is he changing the game that much where he's all everyone's talking about? Or two, am I clearly not playing well enough where nobody wants to ask me about what I'm doing? But it's, I mean, I'm the first to admit that I was wrong in all this when he was doing it. I didn't think it was very smart. I didn't think it was a good thing to do. I thought he was going to hurt himself and wasn't going to be playing good golf. And I've never seen anybody transform their body like that. I mean, he is huge. And he is hitting it so far, and he's winning tournaments, and he's contending. But I've said it before, you know, he's doing that because he's a really, really good putter as well. He doesn't just hit it far. He putts the crap out of it. And, you know, if you're hitting it 390 down the middle of every fairway and you're making some putts, it's going to be pretty hard not to win, to be honest.
This dude pods the crap out of it. He's so good, JT. Like, how often do guys admit they were wrong about something? or lay it out with that kind of analysis. Like, he is so interesting to me. He's right. Except that in this case, though, Bryson was not hitting it 390 down the middle and putting the crap out of it. He wasn't making putts last week. So, in the end, it was not the foregone conclusion that so many people thought it would be, myself included, that he'd win that event, and he'd do so easily. Maybe not easily, but emphatically. However, JT was never scared about what BDC could potentially do to Augusta National. Not then and not now. JT has his own routine. He knows who he is and what he is and what he has to do. And what he's doing is working, and he's going to stay with it.
My number one goal when I'm training is to remain injury-free and be able to play as long as I possibly can. I mean, that's the number one thing that I'm doing. I mean, I've been trying to put muscle on. I've been trying to put weight on. And we've done it smartly and gone about it a way where we know I'm not going to hinder any of my play and cause any injury. But I understand you don't have to be big and jacked or whatever in golf. And, yeah, it's fun to hit the ball far. But I know my limitations, and I know what I need to do to become a very, very dominant player. And, you know, me weighing 200 pounds is not that.
Dude's brilliant, man. I mean, he's got it. He understands. He's right. You don't need to go two bills to hit the ball a mile and score on a golf course. He's not the number three player in the world by accident. He didn't rip a major, a couple of Player of the Year awards, 13 tour wins, a FedEx Cup, a former world number one. He didn't do all that by crushing protein shakes like water. In other words, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And he's not going to fix what's not broken. And that's not to say that it might not work for somebody else, because it does, but that's not who he is. Now, even though the Kentucky kid is from Louisville, he does rep Alabama hard, because that's where he played his college golf and he had an amazing college career. And his status there has afforded him the ability to break out the bats with Alabama royalty, namely Nick Saban. Saban is a god in those parts, but on the golf course, to JT, he is just like any other easy mark.
He's got everybody in Tuscaloosa that would do absolutely anything and everything for him. And not that I wouldn't, but I'm not going to go out there and kiss his ass. I'm going to go out there and have fun with him. And I think that's why we get along so well. You know, he has no shame in telling me how it is. And I'm not going to tell him about his profession in any way. But if we're out on the golf course, and I made fun of his chipping to his face before, and I have no problem with that. But no, he's just like the rest of us. You know, he likes to talk trash and have fun. It just, the only time anybody ever sees him is when he's all business on that football field.
I love that this guy just said, I mean, imagine being in Tuscaloosa and not kissing that guy's ass. He's like, I'm not doing that. Talking junk was a big part of this week's podcast with Justin Thomas, because he talked a lot of junk as a commentator during the match too with Brady, Manning, T. Woods, and Phil. Remember that? He did, and it was natural, and it was awesome. So look for that, because he gives us some really good behind-the-scenes insight on what it was like to work that event and why Phil would talk to a wall if he knew that it would stay still for him. His words, not mine. And by total coincidence, we went back-to-back with a couple of PGA Championship winners. I had Elk last week. I had JT this week. Elk loves JT's game and JT's attitude. So I asked JT if he knew anything about Elk, and if he did, what was his thought about the jungle legend?
I know him a little bit, yeah. We've probably just had more communication through texting or whatever it might be, but we obviously have a lot of mutual friends. But he's been great, and I know that he's very similar to me, to where he's not going to give you the PC answer. You know, you're not necessarily going to start controversy, but it's like, hey, you know, I'm not going to be the person, and I never have been in a press conference, to say what's going to please everybody. You know, if someone's going to ask me a question, I think they deserve to hear what I honestly think or what I think is going on. And, you know, he's the same way, especially on social media. I remember when I looked at it a lot more, is that, you know, if you ever wanted to see some hot takes or, you know, maybe some raunchy stuff, Elk would always get in there and get in people's grills. And, you know, he was never scared to say what was on his mind. And I mean, he's obviously was a great player and accomplished a lot. So I would say he's earned that right.
Damn right he's earned that right. And so have you, JT. So have you, JT. Man, what a great conversation that was. I'm so pleased with that. I'm pleased with you, old man. Way to go, Rit. Way to go, Rit. How about Rit turning Justin Thomas for the podcast?
That Garrett Rit guy knows how to book.
He does, man. Rit? Make sure you check out the entire episode. We talk about his close relationship with Tiger Woods. Those two are tight. I asked him his thoughts on Anthony Kim, and there's a reason I brought up AK, other than AK is still one of my favorite athletes ever. One of the most mysterious athletes ever. One of my favorite athletes ever. I asked him about AK and why some of his friends hate playing golf with him. That was a great answer, too. That is up right now. Don't listen to it right now, but just know it's up right now, and it's there for you right after the show ends. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Google Play. It's on JimRome.com. It's pinned at the top of my Twitter feed. As a last resort, you can call Hawk, and he can walk you through it. Or go to the top of my Twitter feed and find it there. All right, so on top of that, I'll talk about Klay Thompson getting hurt. Robinson Cano doing Robinson Cano things. I will get to that also. And more. Dana White's coming up in hour number three. That's always a good thing, too. 1-800-636-8686. One good call can beget other good calls. One crappy call, I promise you, will lead to other crappy calls. So is there somebody who wants to set the tone? Take your shot, use the number, call me right now. But first, here is a sports update. Welcome back. We have a special announcement from Dell Technologies. Black Friday is officially here. You can save up to 50% on powerful computers with Intel Core processors. It will take your small business to the next level. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SB Black Friday. Dell.com. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so this just in. Woj tweets, Klay Thompson has suffered a season-ending Achilles tear. Which is obviously terrible news. 1-800-636-8686. Bob Myers had said that you have to prepare for anything, but I'm going to hope for the best. And that the coaches were coming in for the MRIs today and they would see what would happen, but they were hoping for the best and they end up getting the worst. They were fearing the worst and they end up with the worst. So he is out for the season with an Achilles tear, which is even worse than tearing up your ACL, which he missed last year for and spent the entire year rehabbing that and came all the way back and was injured yesterday in a pickup game in downtown LA. All right, I'm going to finish that thought in a minute. One 800 636 8686. And Drew in West LA, I don't need your reaction to it. I already got your reaction to it earlier. This is why Bob Myers was so shaken yesterday. I think that Bob Myers knew or feared the very worst. I mean, so you got Golden State, and they went through what they went through. They lost Steph. They lost KD. They lost Klay Thompson. They had a tough enough year that they get that high pick, and then guys were coming back. Draymond was rested, Steph was healthy, Klay was on the mend, and in fact was working out and come all the way back. They get that high draft pick, a big man that they need, and then all of a sudden you've got a dynasty that may not be in ruins. You know, they take their year off, they take their medicine, and they're about to get nice again, and they're going to factor in this thing. They are. And then you get that news about Klay Thompson, which is terrible news. Terrible news. And again, yes, people have it worse, but that's a really good guy that had something really bad happen. I'm looking for some reaction to it. 1-800-636-8686. I want to go back to something I said at the very top of the program, and I mentioned the draft itself. And now the draft was weird. Really weird for a number of reasons. Weird that it was virtual. Weird that we saw a bunch of guys that were not household names because there was no NCAA tournament. And weird in that Greg Anthony's son was selected. And Kenyon Martin's son was selected. And I said, that's just weird to me because time is weird and time goes so fast. And then it seemed like just yesterday that I was a young, dashing Van Smack broadcasting games from the Thunderdome at UC Santa Barbara, and Greg Anthony rolled in there with the running Rebs. I mean, it seems like yesterday I was broadcasting Greg Anthony's college games. And yet, what really happened yesterday was his kid got drafted into the NBA. Not even his kid put on a hat and announced where he was going to college, but going into the NBA. Man, that's weird to me. And I didn't mention Kenyon Martin, but I will. His son also went in. Quick shout out, a quick memo to Kings players. If I were you, I would skip the rookie pranks with Kenyon Martin's kid. Trust me, he's not going to appreciate the fill the car with popcorn joke. You know the pranks they do on guys? They did that to Kenyon Martin once. Man, that's a bad idea. Kenyon Martin will go. Kenyon Martin has gone. Kenyon Martin will let his hands go. That is not a guy I'd be messing with. That is not a guy that I'd be dropping popcorn into a brand new car for. And they did. Man, I just hope that popcorn was not buttered. That'd go so badly. Maybe you take the wheels off his car, but you do not fill his car with popcorn. As far as Joe Judge goes, yeah, I know. Picks or it didn't happen. I'm not sure it did happen. I'm just like Kenyon's kid. I've got a list of guys I don't mess with. You know my list. I don't mess with Mike Tyson. I'm not messing with that guy. I've never met Kenyon Martin's kid. I'm just going to put him on the list anyway. I'm not messing with him. I'm not messing with anybody in that family. I like Matt Barnes, but I wouldn't mess with Matt Barnes either. Just some guys you don't want to mess with. Like, who else is on that list? Kevin Mitchell is a guy that I would never mess with. Charles Oakley is a guy that I would never mess with. I mean, a lot of these guys are guys I like. I just would never mess with these guys. Kenyon Martin, I would not mess with. Xavier McDaniel, not a guy I'd want to mess with. I mean, never mind that I go like 5'10", and most of these guys are 6'8", 6'10", 7'4", 8'12". It's not even about how big they are. It's their mentality, man. They'll go. Steve Smith is one of my favorite athletes ever. I'm not messing with that guy. You will lose. Not only will you lose, you'll get hurt. So that was weird. Greg Anthony's kid, drafted. Kenny Martin's kid, drafted. Stucknut tweets, tell Ritt to get off his ass and answer my telegraph asking how to listen to the podcast. Wells in the 360 tweets, hogwash and baloney are strong. Signed, Jim Zorn.
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray!
How that guy got actual NFL players to play along with that, I have no idea. Imagine how cheesy that must have sounded. Hip hip hooray? I mean, that wouldn't even go down like in the movie Rudy or something. That went down in an actual NFL locker room and not that long ago. And Jim Zorn was a damn good player. So Klay Thompson suffered an Achilles tear. Man, last night was supposed to be the next step in the reboot for the Warriors. As I mentioned, Steph and Klay were healthy. They had dealt with injuries. They had come back. They had done the work. Draymond was well rested. They added the second pick overall in the draft. In other words, the team that had dominated for the past half decade was about to come back. They had that 1 year timeout. Things were about to get exciting and nice again. So he undergoes tests and we find out he is out for the year. Man, that just sucks. Saying something sucks is not a take, but that sucks. Sucks for him. Sucks for Golden State. Sucks for the NBA. Literally sucks for the entire world. And you knew it was bad when all of his peers were rushing to Twitter to throw up prayers up. That's never a good sign. They know. they know, and when they knew, I think the rest of us knew. I didn't want to believe it. That's why Bob Myers was so upset. I mean, like, any injury to Klay Thompson after what he just missed is terrible, but the fact that it's an Achilles tear is so much worse. That's worse than another ACL tear. According to Ramona Shelburne, he was playing in a pickup game with other NBA players in LA. He felt pain in his calf after he landed on his leg. Bob Myers said it himself. Klay does not like missing 5 minutes of anything. He was probably bummed out that he had to leave the pickup game. I'm glad that our players reached out to him. Obviously, we've seen a lot of other NBA players reach out to him with their thoughts. We're hoping that we hear something good. End of quote. They did not hear something good. In fact, they heard the worst possible news. Achilles tear, out for the year. Again, I don't care if you're a Warriors fan or not. This is bigger than that. You don't even have to be an NBA fan to be a Klay Thompson fan, because he's not just one of the best players in the NBA. He's not even just one of the best shooters ever. This is one of the best characters in the league. A guy who signs toasters, a guy who played some volleyball and jumped into the ocean to get right after a couple of bad shooting nights in the playoffs. Remember that story? Jumped into the Pacific Ocean to reset himself, and it worked because he went off for 32 the next game. Steph Curry had that great story where he said, I knew he'd be fine. I saw him walk back into the hotel lobby. He had a wet t-shirt. He had his shades on. He had that typical vibe. I knew that it was going to be fine after that, after he reset himself by jumping into the ocean. Game six, Klay shows up. Man, God, that is just such a, it's like a sledgehammer to the junk. All right, when we come back, next hour, Dana White's going to join me in the last segment. Open phones. Also, my thoughts on tonight's matchup in the NFL. The rare Thursday night tilt, which is awesome. And Robinson Cano hammered for roids again. All of that is still ahead.